Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Ethan Weaver.
Commish, how we doing?
We are doing pretty well, my man. Week 14 is behind us. The fantasy football regular season is in the books for 2023. The thing just absolutely flew by on us like it does each and every year. And now is everyone's favorite time of year. It's winning time. It's time to win fantasy football championships. So good luck to everybody, whether you're in redraft, dynasty, best ball leagues, whatever it is. Just wanted to say right off the top here, folks, I hope that the coming weeks go really well for you and you're putting some cash in your pocket around the holidays. Always a good time to do that. Ethan, did your fantasy season go according to plan?
It went according to plan. It was actually a very, very good year for me. Made the playoffs in all my redraft leagues. With a couple of buys. So I was pretty happy with that. Dynasty was pretty good to me too. And so was best ball. So not a lot of complaints on my end. How about you?
Yeah, overall pretty good. Did miss out on one redraft league, which was tough blow on Monday Night Football. Needed to win some help, got the help I needed, but couldn't come through on my end. A lot of injuries piled up against me, and just sometimes you just don't have enough. But when you play in as many leagues as we do, you're bound to have some good things happen elsewhere. So got a number of buys to look forward to and some interesting playoff matchups coming up this week. You mentioned the best ball league. We both did pretty well in best ball. You ended up coming in first place in the regular season in our Sunday Surefire Invitational, which for those who listen and are a part of it, you know what a fun experience that's been. But for those who don't, I mean, it's a season-long best ball tournament, a redraft format where it was a 16-team league, and essentially give you, the listeners, a chance to compete with us here on the program at Sunday Surefire. Like I said, Ethan came in first place, I'll be in second place, and Aaron squeaked into the playoffs as well. He's right in the middle. I think he's the 4 or the 5 seed coming in. So we were well represented as a show here in the playoffs with 7 playoff teams in a 16-team league. It actually gets pretty tight. So good on us for all making it there. And if you want to be a part of this, make sure you're checking us out on our social media platforms. We're on X at Sunday _Surefire. We're on Instagram at Sunday Surefire, on Facebook as well. You know, if you're not familiar with this, just message us there and we'll get you in there for next year. So our goal is to have a different tier system where we use promotion and relegation between the different leagues, sort of like the English soccer format for those who are familiar with that. So I think that's going to be a good long-term fun project for everyone to be a part of here. So I guess any quick takeaways from the best ball or the invitational that you want to talk about before we get into week 15 DFS talk?
Yeah, no, the best ball league there was a lot of fun. I'm glad I was able to get that only buy. There's only one buy in the 16 team league, so that was pretty sweet. But as you said, the Sunday Surefire crew was well represented. So all that preseason research worked out for us. So it was definitely a good showing on our behalf. It was a great inaugural Sunday Surefire 16 team best ball league. So looking forward to drafting again next year.
Completely agree. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think for many years to come. So good stuff on that. But let's talk about some of the good stuff from week 14 before we get into to this week's picks in our Told You So segment.
You like that? You like that?
And you took home the week last week in first place in that. So why don't you go ahead and start with telling me what you got right in week 14?
It was one of my better weeks in terms of the content and the players that I talked about on the pod. I scored 159.62 points, which was a pretty good week, and it was good enough, obviously, to win, as you just mentioned, our friendly matchup week to week. So I was pretty pumped about that. But getting into my I Told You So's, I had Joe Mixon, who scored 21.5 points. Again, he was pretty much the workhorse in that backfield, even though Chase Brown kind of came on strong this week and he had a very nice showing. So maybe they'll look to kind of even up some touches in that backfield. But for last week, he showed out. Rashee Rice, he had 19.2 points. Again, just a target hog amongst the receivers in that Kansas City offense. Even though the offense is sputtering, he's just has a nose for the end zone. And I feel like Rashee Rice is scoring a touchdown almost every week. My hot take didn't quite cover. I said over 115 and a touchdown. I believe he had around 75 yards and a touchdown. But hey, I'll take 19.2 points from Rashee Rice. Isaiah Likely had that long touchdown. He scored 19.3 points. So for his cost near tight end position, he was a big hit. And then the Browns defense, even though C.J. Beathard did not play, they still put up 12 points. I can only imagine what they would have done if Lawrence sat. So just overall, a good week for me, and another win in the books in our friendly matchup there for me. So I was pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, it's always good to get a win, and you were the only one to get a win in our friendly matchups last week. I took home the Thursday night competition, the three of us partake in, and overall it was a good week for me too. But you know, in that Thursday game specifically, I had Zeke Elliott as my captain. For all the things you got right last week, Ethan, that was one you were dead wrong about. I wasn't here last week for you to say it to my face, but I was listening as always. And I know you didn't like the Zeke call at the time, but 40 points later in the captain slot definitely helped me pick up the win on that one. And our Patriots messed up and won a game. Can you believe that?
I honestly can't believe it, but the only reason why I can believe it is because Mitch Trubisky was on the other end. But no, it was a great call by you with Zeke Elliott. Zeke was in my lineup. He just wasn't my captain. I don't know. The last 2 weeks, I have been dead wrong in my predictions of how these games are going to go. I don't understand how the Patriots can put up 0 points against one of the league's worst defenses in the Chargers. And then Zappy comes in, slings 3 touchdown passes in the first half against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. So it's just those Thursday games have been so hit or miss for me. And obviously the defensive call did not work for me this week. And it's been 0-2 with Aaron the last couple of weeks. So I think we're going to stray away from the defenses in that captain spot going forward.
Well, that's good foreshadowing for what's coming up here. Towards the end of the episode, we're going to touch on more Thursday night football for this coming week. It's another doozy of a matchup that we'll dive into. It's a real heater. But again, well, that's coming down the line here. I'll finish up the what my told you so segment here from week 14. Speaking of defenses here, I my call out last week was the Saints against Bryce Young. They paid off for 21 fantasy points, and I took a really cheap trip to Stack City, as Aaron referenced. I went Joe Flacco, who scored 25 points at a cost of just $4,700, and David Njoku was my tight end for 27 points. And he only cost you $4,100 to get into your lineup. So a combined 52 points between that stack for just a total of $9,000 in your lineup is really all you can ask for when you take a trip to Stack City. So that was a good week for me. I was in the 130s as well. So good weeks for all of us. I win Thursday. You win on the main slate. Aaron will try to do better next week, but he's having a good season in his own right as well. And with that, we're going to move on to our bullish buys here. I'll toss out Aaron downtown Browns here. Off the top, his first player is CeeDee Lamb. They're going up against Buffalo. The over-under is hovering around 50 points in that game, which makes it the highest over-under on the slate. Obviously, Dak and Lamb are just in sync. Lamb scored a touchdown in 5 consecutive games. So I don't think you're going to argue too much on that, Ethan. Give me your quick thoughts, I guess, on CeeDee Lamb, and then give me your bullish buy.
Yeah, not much to add with Lamb. Lamb's just been playing like a man possessed. So is Dak Prescott. The Cowboys look great right now. Cowboys fans better enjoy it until they choke in the playoffs. But right now they're looking pretty good. Most Cowboys fans think it's their year. So maybe it is. But no, CeeDee Lamb, he's been awesome. It's hard not to want him in your lineup, but he does cost you a pretty penny. So that's why I don't have him in mind. And I'm gonna go into my bullish buy. I'm gonna go Cooper Kupp at 7,800. I just think his matchup is just too good to pass up right now. I actually went to Stack City with Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Stafford's only at $6,000 against the league's worst pass defense. I thought was a no-brainer. I mean, the Washington Commanders are giving up a league worst 266 yards a game, and they're also giving up the most points per game at 28.1. Cooper Kupp is his number one target, and I believe he had 10 targets last game, and had a pretty good game. He had a few off weeks, but it was nice to see him bounce back last week with 8-115 and a touchdown. I expect similar, if not better, numbers again this week. Just looking at some of the players that some of the bigger names that went up against the Commanders. You had Tyreek Hill, 5 for 157. DK, 7 for 98. AJ Brown twice, 9 for 175 and 8 for 130. Stephon Diggs, 8 for 111. Drake London, 9 for 125. DJ Moore, 8 for 230. So as you can clearly see, some big name receivers have blown up against the Commanders. I think the Rams put up a ton of points, and I think Cooper Kupp's a big reason for that. And I hope my stack with Stafford and Kupp produce a lot of points for me this week. So Cooper Kupp, I thought, was a pretty easy decision for me, just considering the matchup.
Well, we're definitely thinking along the same wavelength for sure here. I have Stafford as my quarterback this week too. And I'm also taking a trip to Stack City, but I'm going to talk about the Rams wide receiver that you should have put in your lineup. And if it's not Cooper Kupp, it's pretty obvious here. It's got to be Puka Nacua. He's $7,300, obviously the same matchup. And I'm just rolling with the 2023's most productive rookie wideout so far. You did a good job covering the matchup itself, so I won't dive too far into that. A lot of the guys, though, you were rattling off were guys that lead their team in targets. And guess what, guys, this year, that's not Cooper Kupp. It's Puka Nacua. Overall, he's the target leader, of course, given the time Kupp missed in there. But if you look at him on a per-game basis, Puka Nacua is actually leading this team in targets as well. So I'm going to stick with the theme where the target leader keeps piling up those points here. You know, if you just look at Puka himself, just giving you an incredibly high floor just about every single week this year. He has at least 70 yards and 9 out of the 11 games that Stafford has started and finished this season. And like I said, going with Stafford in my lineup too. So I think there's a world that we live in where we could both ultimately end up being right about this. And usually when two of us are on opposite sides of something like this, we have the third man come in and kind of give their thoughts on it. Cooper Kupp is also in Aaron Downtown Brown's lineup. So I'll throw that out there too, that you know, Aaron is also on board with Ethan with Kupp. I'm going with the same matchup for the same logic, but I'm rolling with Puka here. So what are your thoughts on that?
You can't go wrong with either receiver. Both of them, I think, are going to have great games. I do like you saving $500 with Nacua in your lineup because it allows you to do some other things in the other positions. I know we were talking before the show, you were trying to squeeze some other guys in there and where I was, and it would have been nice to have that extra $500. So definitely not going to disagree with your Puka Nacua call. Nacua has been absolutely great this season, and I expect big things from both Kupp and Nacua this weekend against a pretty struggling Commanders defense.
Oh, they're struggling harder than Joe Namath on Monday Night Football.
I knew that was coming.
That's one of my favorite clips of all time from my youth.
Couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Oh, that was great. Well, the Pats were probably just burying them in our heyday. Yeah. Fond memories to be shared. But let's talk about some defenses here in our two deep section that we think are going to crush this week. And I feel like every year on this program, and if Aaron were here tonight, he would definitely agree with this. By the time December rolls around, themes definitely start to emerge and who we like to target. And at least in terms of the different quarterbacks that we want to play defenses against. And for this year, one of those guys has to be Bryce Young, number one overall pick in the draft, which kind of has just seen everything kind of crumble around him since being selected at the top of the draft. I went against them last week with my Saints call. They paid off for 21 points. Always hard to get that big number from a defense, but Bryce Young really has been providing for defenses this season. He's had at least one turnover in 11 of the 12 NFL games he's played in, and he's also number two in sacks taken this season. We've referenced these numbers in the past, so I won't make this a big long sermon on why you should be playing the Falcons defense against Bryce Young. Just don't overthink it here and roll with the Dirty Birds in Week 15.
Couldn't agree more. I had the Atlanta Falcons as well. It was a pretty easy decision for me as soon as I saw this matchup on the Week 15 slate. Bryce Young and that offense is just anemic. I couldn't believe when I saw his stat line come across the ticker when I was watching the games, and he completed 13 of 36 passes. I mean, that's 36%. And the Saints scored, whatever you said, 21 points, and I don't believe Bryce Young even threw an interception. So I think the Falcons have a big day against Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers offense. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. The Atlanta Falcons are one of the best run defenses in the league, number one according to PFF. And I don't see Hubbard or Sanders doing much in the ground, which is going to force Bryce Young to throw the ball. And I think bad things are going to happen. I think Atlanta at $3,600 is one of the easiest calls on the slate. Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers are just awful.
And it's actually a clean sweep on that thought process as well. That's Aaron's defensive pick of the week. So we are rolling deep on the Falcons this week. And so I guess we won't belabor that point anymore here. Sorry to our Panthers fan friends that do listen each and every week. I feel like we also say that just about every week. That's another theme that we go with. But we appreciate you guys hanging in there and continuing to listen to us talk ball, even though we kind of jump on your team a little bit here from week to week. So let's keep the train chugging along here, if you will. Let's move on now to our pick six category. This is where we talk about players that are a lot lower in the pecking order compared to the studs that we've talked about thus far. So this is where you save a little bit of money, which you have to kind of do that and cut those corners. So give me someone that you're looking to get into your lineup for cheap this week.
I think we all can agree on this player. I was very surprised to see his price at $4,900, considering what he's been doing over the past few weeks. And that's Jaden Reed of the Green Bay Packers. They're going against Tampa Bay, who have the 29th ranked defense against opposing wide receivers. They have not been very good at stopping the wide receiver position at all. And to get Jaden Reed, Jordan Love's number one target at this point in the season. I mean, considering Christian Watson, he's been kind of banged up. But, I mean, Reed had 10 targets on Monday night. He's been great also in the run game. He had, I believe, 4 rushes for 36 yards and a TD again on Monday night, but he scored 15 or more fantasy points in 4 of the last 5 games. And he's, like I said, he got 10 targets last game. He's starting to come into his own. He's a second round rookie selection. So he's starting to kind of come on late in the season. And like I said, the Buccaneers are allowing 264.1 pass yards a game, which ranks 30th in the league. And I think Jordan Love and the Packers bounce back in a big way against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think Jaden Reed will be a big part of that.
Completely agreed. He's also in my lineup. He was one of the pick six players that I wanted to discuss on this episode. So I'll just keep piling on here quickly. You talked about the touches that he's getting. You know, he's over the last 4 weeks, he's seen 29 targets and 9 carries over that span. That mark is good for 7th in the league among wide receiver opportunities over that time frame. So opportunities, of course, being, you know, times where you're either being thrown the football with a target or receiving a handoff. So he's getting those opportunities that we want to score at close to an elite level. And like you said, the Bucs defense can be tough to run against, or so you have to throw on him. So if you think about Reed too, like, I mean, yeah, sure, maybe it's tough for running backs to run on him, but the looks that a guy like a Jaden Reed gives you, the different type of things, if you watch these Packers games that they're doing with them, are really tricky for defenses to pin down sometimes. So it's just those kind of those secret points that are kind of hidden in the form of carries. And, you know, we saw him break a 38-yard touchdown run. So the guy has the ability to be a game breaker whenever they get the football in his hands, and they're doing that at a fair rate lately. So for under $5,500, I could not believe this either, that he is still priced so low. So it just feels like something where DraftKings isn't quite up to speed. And I don't even care if Aaron Jones comes back here at this point. I'm not really expecting much from him down the stretch run as the season continues. So that's what I got for my first pick six player. I'll just jump into my second one here. It's Curtis Samuel. He's playing at the LA Rams. So going back to this game, just going on the other side of it now. He's priced at $4,600 on DraftKings. You know, he's been the Commanders' primary slot wide receiver this season, and he's quietly been building some chemistry with first-year starter Sam Howell. He put up four receptions for 65 yards their last time out, and he was actually marked just short of the goal line here. So, you know, if it hits the end zone there, he's probably that alone is probably bumping up his price a little bit higher. So, just a quick thing there, and then also the game before that, he went over 100 yards. So He has been coming along here as the season progresses in a lost season for the Commanders. This game's actually kind of sneaky. It's sneaky high over under here. It's 49 at the moment, which is the second highest on the slate. So I do want to get some cheap pieces of this game into my lineup. And I kind of paid up a little bit earlier with Puka, getting him in there. Now I just want to go to the other side of the ball. And even though Howell can be prone to turnovers, He's also shown that he's capable of making plays as well. And I think Curtis Samuel was a nice little way for me to cut corners to get him into my lineup here. So where are you at on Curtis Samuel for week 15?
I like to call Curtis Samuel was in my lineup for a brief period until I started switching things around. But I think the Rams have a big day, which is going to force Sam Howell, per usual, to chuck the ball a lot. I know we discussed Sam Howell and the Commanders passing attack a couple shows ago, and how Sam Howell has been leading the league in pass attempts. And I think he's going to have to chuck the rock a ton against the Rams. And I like the fact that Samuel's the cheapest of the three main receivers with McLaurin and Dotson on the Commanders. And I'd take Curtis Samuel over those other two all day. So I think he is building a rapport with Howell. And I think Sam Howell, I mean, I think Curtis Samuel has a chance for a decent day. So I definitely like that call at the price.
Love it. Love it. Who else you got for me, my man? Who else are you putting in here? And nice and cheap into your lineup to fill out those last couple of roster spots.
Yeah, so I decided to go with Devin Singletary at 5,400. Right now, we have C.J. Stroud in concussion protocol. Not sure if he's going to play. Obviously, Tank Dell, he's on IR. Nico Collins has a calf injury. So I think they're going to have to lean on Singletary. Singletary has basically relegated Damian Pierce to a pure backup role. Damian Pierce against the Jets last week was held to just 5 carries for 7 yards, while Singletary produced 65 yards on 13 carries and a touchdown. Singletary has been the better back this year, and I think they're going to have to lean on him with the injuries and potentially the backup quarterback playing if Stroud cannot go. So I just think Singletary is going to get a lot of volume. And for $5,400, I didn't think that was a bad price. And the Tennessee Titans, they haven't been great against the rush. The 29th ranked defense, according to PFF, in rushing with a 55.6 grade. I mean, in week 12, Hubbard had 20.2 fantasy points. Week 14, A-Chain and Mostert combination combined for a little over 35 points. And then Rashad White had a decent day with 17.8 points back in week 10. I think Singletary has a chance to produce on the ground and through the air. And I like the upside at the price point at 5,400. So I had the cheap out a little bit at the running back position, considering I paid up in a few other positions, but I liked the price point.
Yeah, price point's good. My only concern, I guess I would say, is obviously CJ Stroud being very questionable for this week, kind of hints that it may be a lower ceiling for the offense. I think either way, you're kind of betting on a touchdown, whether it's Singletary or Pierce. Singletary got the better of Pierce last week for sure, and also back in week 12 as well. But sandwiched in the middle there was Damian Pierce kind of showing a little bit more signs of life. He got 15 touches in that game against Denver in week 13. So, like, this could be more of a hot hand situation where, like, if one guy's playing well, they kind of roll with them. And that could be a little tricky to pin down from time to time. If I was betting on one of these two backs for the rest of the season, I would pick Singletary if forced to choose. Ultimately, I'll probably pivot away from the Texans' backfield if I'm being honest. But we'll see how that one pans out here. This is actually a good spot to bring up one of Aaron's pick six players because he's also targeting a player on this Texans offense, but he's going with a pass catcher. You mentioned the litany of injuries that the Texans receiver corps has sustained. So he's rolling with Noah Brown for 5,000, and he's just kind of banking on the fact that with Collins banged up and Dell out for the year, that he can kind of become that top go-to option for the Texans quarterback, whether it be Davis Mills or CJ Stroud. So who do you, I guess, give me your thoughts on Brown. Are you a little worried about the quarterback situation to make this call tonight?
I am worried, and I do completely agree with the fact that this offense, obviously without Stroud, is not going to have as much upside. So obviously the touchdown opportunities may go down, but I don't think the Tennessee defense is that great. And I'm just kind of banking on volume with Singletary. We'll see what happens with Damian Pierce. But I think if Singletary can do some work on the ground and through the air, I'm just projecting a decent volume game from him. But Noah Brown scares me quite a bit. because Nico Collins was hurt relatively early in that game against the Jets, and Noah Brown had zero catches on five targets. And then the week before, when he was coming back from his injury, he again had zero catches on two targets. So definitely a risky play. But obviously we see the upside that Noah Brown does have. And I think if CJ Stroud does come back and play, I definitely like the upside of both Singletary and Noah Brown a lot more. So it's kind of a wait and see approach. I was just trying to find a kind of a cheap running back to put into my lineup, and Singletary kind of fit the bill there. And Noah Brown at 5,000, I would have went in a different direction. Like, I would have rather put Curtis Samuel in my lineup to your point with about him than a Noah Brown. Just considering Noah Brown, maybe he's not, I don't know, maybe he's just finally getting healthy. Who knows? Maybe that knee injury is really lingering, but he hasn't shown a lot in the last 2 weeks.
No, he hasn't. He obviously kind of came out of nowhere for a couple of weeks, you know, back-to-back, weeks 9 and week 10. He has over 20 fantasy points, kind of out of nowhere for a guy who's been in the league for 6 years. You know, just kind of popped off the page. So maybe he rekindles some of that with more targets filtering his way. Like you said, if Stroud's in there, I'm going to feel a lot better about it. If he's not, I'm not playing this week, I'm definitely going to stay away. And I know you're looking for some cheap running backs here. Aaron has a cheap running back of his own in this category. He's going $5,200 for Antonio Gibson, kind of banking on the fact that Brian Robinson may not be available in this one. Those hamstring injuries that he's dealing with, those can be tricky and they can kind of linger. So how do you feel about it if Robinson is out for this week?
If Robinson is out, I love the call, and I would like to get Antonio Gibson in my lineup. I just have no idea what the status of Brian Robinson is, because if Brian Robinson plays, I mean, you really can't bake on Antonio Gibson. I know he's been getting a little more in the mix, but I mean, this entire year has been just such a big disappointment for Antonio Gibson. I drafted Antonio Gibson in a couple of my redraft leagues. Luckily, I was able to rebound from that, but he's just been I was hoping for a big year from Antonio Gibson with Eric Bieniemy and maybe that Jerick McKinnon role, and it just hasn't come to fruition. So playing Antonio Gibson is very scary if Brian Robinson is in, but if he's not, I definitely like the upside, and it would be pretty sweet to see a potential workhorse role. But then again, the Commanders aren't afraid to give the rock to Chris Rodriguez either. So I know the Commanders were pretty high on Rodriguez in the pre-draft process. I think they have like a third round grade on him. They got him in like the sixth or something like that. So Chris Rodriguez can do similar things as Brian Robinson. He's kind of a bigger bruising back. But if Robinson is out, I like the call. If he's in, I think you should go in a different direction.
I actually like this call regardless of whether Brian Robinson plays or not. And part of it's for what you mentioned with Rodriguez getting some run in there. Obviously, Robinson would demand more touches for sure. But I think just looking at the way that we both think this game is going to unfold, obviously, we both have Matthew Stafford in our lineup. You and Aaron have Kupp in your lineup. I have Puka Nacua in my lineup. So we're all in favor of the Rams. We think they're going to put up a bunch of points in this game. But when that happens, it's going to force the Commanders to chuck the ball. That's why I like Curtis Samuel. But Antonio Gibson, if you look at his last five games out there, he's seen between four and six targets each and every one of them. So he is the passing down running back for this team. He has a couple touchdowns receiving as well. So I think if you can kind of just play that game of like picturing how it's going to pan out, I can kind of see it working out for you. I mean, I would ideally like to get him for a little bit less than 5,200. But I think if you're trying to cheap out at running back, there's worse places that you could go. So I guess those are my quick thoughts on Gibson. I was hoping for more in the aggregate this season as well, but we're not going to get that. It doesn't look like, but for this week specifically, I think I could see some appeal there. So I guess any last thoughts on that before we move on to this delicious Thursday night matchup we have on tap.
Yeah, not much more to add. I mean, Gibson, he, like you said, he is commanding more targets as of late. So, and if, as you said, I think the upside is there with what we are projecting a negative game script for the Washington Commanders, and the fact that, I mean, even if Brian Robinson does come back, is he going to command a full workload? I mean, we don't know how that hamstring is going to How that's going to hold up. So definitely, I definitely like the upside of Antonio Gibson, but it's definitely a big risk.
Yep, for sure. And we'll definitely see how that one pans out. But we're going to move on here. We're going to talk about some Thursday Night Football in our Under the Lights segment. And like we mentioned, this one is a real doozy, folks. We have Chargers at Raiders. The Raiders are coming off a barn burner of a game last week where they came up on the short end of a 3-0 ball game that dragged the game of offensive football back about 75 years. And the Chargers are coming off yet another loss. And also some bad news came down today for them, that they lose Justin Herbert for the remainder of the season in the process. The Chargers season, for all intents and purposes, was over, whether Herbert was going to suit up the rest of the way or not, but just some bad news from them. And, you know, maybe one of these weeks we're going to have an appealing fantasy matchup standpoint here to talk about, but it's definitely not going to be this week here. So I guess give me your quick thoughts on the game, and let me know how you think it's going to pan out before we get into our caption selections.
Yeah, I feel bad for Amazon Prime to get another great game like the Chargers versus the Las Vegas Raiders. The over-under in this game is 34. The Raiders are favored by 3 points, and I project a very low-scoring affair. As you can tell with the over-under being just 34 points, the Raiders couldn't score a single point last week against the Minnesota Vikings, and I don't think they're going to catch lightning in a bottle this week either against the Chargers. Even though the Chargers defense really isn't that good, but this Raiders offense, who knows if Jacobs is going to play. I mean, obviously on the Chargers side of the ball, you have Easton Stick in there, as you mentioned. Justin Herbert is out for the season, unfortunately, with that broken finger. So I think it's going to be a lot of ground and pound for the Chargers with their young quarterback. And it's just unfortunate losing Herbert, because it's really going to impact guys like Allen and Eckler going forward in the fantasy playoffs. But we'll be able to get an early look at the Easton Stick-led offense on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's definitely not one anyone's looking forward to. I don't quite feel as bad as Ethan does about Jeff Bezos and Amazon, you know, for the quality of the product they're getting.
I don't feel bad for
they're getting. You know, I think Jeff's going to be just fine out there. That's just my personal stance on it. But, you know, this might sound a little crazy going with a team that just got shut out not even a week ago. In the Raiders, but I think they're actually going to cover this one. Just I you know, first career start for Easton Stick is a tough spot to be in. Keenan Allen's also questionable for this game. Aiden O'Connell is a little banged up in his own right. I think he should be good to go for this one. And I like the Raiders. If, you know, obviously the home field plays into the equation some, but, you know, I just think the Raiders are more accustomed to playing with him under center at this point. It's been a few weeks that he's been their starting quarterback. Whereas the Chargers now, on just a few days rest, go from their franchise guy and Justin Herbert to, you know, obviously the young rookie who hasn't played a ton in his career. So I just think I think they're going to cover in this one. I'm over under. Yeah, I think last week was kind of one of the spots where everyone was on the under, and so naturally it went the other way. I might get a little creative here and go with the over. Kind of, I might be going against the grain a little bit, but 34 isn't a ridiculous number to crack, but. Who knows? Maybe this will be the week that the under pans out. But those are our quick takeaways on the game itself. If you are going to watch it, I mean, if this wasn't a playoff week for fantasy managers, I think this would be one where folks are kind of just like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and maybe skip this one and do something else. But I think there's going to be a lot riding on this one, whether you have betting interest or a fantasy interest. It'll probably be on a lot of TVs, which will make Jeff Bezos very, very happy. But let's talk about our captain's lineups here. Essentially what we do here, we talk off the top about one of our friendly contests that we have. We have the Sunday slate, and we also have a Thursday night slate where we set 6-player lineups, and we each designate one player to be our captain for that game. And the captains cost 1.5 times the amount of every other player on the slate to have them in that slot. But if you pick someone as your captain, you get 1.5 times the points for whatever they produce. So my captain for this one, and I know it's Ethan's captain, and it's also Aaron Downtown Brown's captain. I'll save all the suspense on that point. We all have the same guy here. And with so much uncertainty, we're all rolling with Austin Eckler for 16,000 $500 here. You know, not by all means, not a great year for Eckler on the whole, but you know, he did average 5 yards per carry last week, caught 5 passes. If there's any prayer that the Chargers move the football in this game, it's got to be through Austin Eckler. You'd have to figure with Keenan Allen banged up and Herbert out of the lineup. Eckler, you know, for the disappointment he's been, if you took him high in redraft leagues this year, you know, he can still give you that dual threat, you know, catch the ball, run the ball type of skill set that you're looking for, especially in a full PPR format like these captains lineups are. So those are my very quick thoughts on Eckler. Do you want to add anything onto our unanimous captain selection for week 15?
Not much to add. I just think Eckler, he had a pretty good game last week, and I think that continues this week. The Raiders aren't very good against the run. They're 25th against running backs. They average, they're allowing an average of 127.4 rush yards a game, which ranks 25th. So I think Eckler, as you said, is going to be heavily involved on the ground and through the air if Easton Stick and that Chargers offense has really any prayer to move the ball. But I am actually very intrigued if Allen doesn't play to see what your boy, no, not your boy at all, but maybe my boy QJ there, Quentin Johnston, can do, because it was kind of nice to see QJ have 91 yards last week, and most of those were with Easton Stick. He had that 57-yard bomb, then he had another nice 10-plus yard reception late in that game. So if QJ is the de facto number one, depending on what Josh Palmer's status is and Allen's out, it would be kind of cool to see what QJ can do, to see if he can build on his last couple of weeks. Because as much as it pains you to talk about QJ, he has been coming along the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'd say coming along is a relative term considering where he was. I mean, obviously he had the 90 yards last week, which was obviously noteworthy, but a really tough start to his NFL career. But what I'll say is, sometimes with these backup quarterbacks, what they tend to latch onto are the guys that they play with a lot in practice. And if you look at the first really half of QJ's rookie season so far, I mean, only in the first 6 weeks and only one game did he play more than 50% of the snaps for the Chargers. So they're just kind of favoring other players in there. So that means, like, you know, he's catching a lot of passes from Easton Stick in practice. So like, that's kind of developing that chemistry between them. And who knows, maybe you know, if Allen, you know, in the lineup, out of the lineup, whatever his status is, you know, they're going to have multiple receivers out there. Maybe he does lean into a guy he's been throwing the ball to. So I don't think that's a crazy point to bring up. And with the lack of weapons and a lot of uncertainty kind of up in the air for this game, I think he's a good enough call to at least get into your lineup to take a look at, see how he does. But as always here, we're going to close out our segment with some hot takes. This is why I'm hot. And I'm going to go to my bullish buy here. Ethan's been doing that in recent weeks. I'm going to do it as well. I'm going to go with my boy Puka Nacua. I'm going to say he goes over 100 total yards in this game and has two or more touchdowns in this one. So going with multiple scores for Puka. I believe that would be the first time in his career that he would have accomplished that if this pans out. So what do you think about that, and what's your spicy hot take for this week?
That's pretty spicy. I mean, taking all of Cup's TDs. But I guess I'll go away from my bullish buy as you just went to yours. I'll stay away from the Rams game. I'm going to go with a guy that I was thinking about discussing on this program here, and I'm going to talk about Bijan Robinson. I think he's going to have a great day. I'm projecting over 125 yards and a touchdown on the ground and another 45 plus yards through the air. So a big day for Bijan Robinson. I think he's primed in a positive game script against Carolina. And I just think Bijan comes through for us in the first round of the playoffs.
I actually completely agree with that. Bijan is in my lineup too. So I hope your hot takes pans out and it's nice and spicy. Our guy, Aaron Downtown Brand, was not on the show here. He usually brings the heat in this category too. So
oh, he always does.
He always brings the heat for the hot takes. He definitely probably I don't know if we're tracking success rates here at hot takes, but he definitely he definitely turns the temperature up the highest. That's for sure. But if you do want to get his hot take, there is a place for you to do it. I mentioned our social media platforms. Again, we're on X, Sunday_Surefire, Instagram at Sunday Surefire, and Facebook as well. But if you want to make sure you're getting this hot take, I would check out our Discord channel as well. And there he'll definitely be posting it in there. We're very active, particularly closer to the week when a lot of the player props are out. So even if you're just popping in there for a few minutes on Sunday morning, just get caught up on the all the content we've dropped in there. Make sure you're doing that and getting some good picks for the week. And I post picks in there. Ethan posts picks in there from time to time too. So make sure you're signing up for that. Great community to be a part of. But for all of us here on the program, until next time, folks, peace.